You can get the latest odds, offers and more great content at williamhill.com, on the William Hill app and in any of our shops around the UK.
Hello and welcome to the William Hill Tennis Podcast. Alex Dunn and Dave Kellner here, looking ahead to the finals of the Australian Open. Serena Williams against Angelique Kerber and Novak Djokovic against Andy Murray coming up in just a few moments. First things first, good afternoon, Mr. Kellner.
Good afternoon, Mr. Dunn.
How's things?
I'm very well. I'm happy because this morning, we're recording this on Friday afternoon, I got to watch Andy Murray come through in five sets against Milos Raonic. It was a tough encounter, pretty grueling match, and Murray wasn't at his best. So it was good to see him just escape with a win, really, and set up another clash with Novak.
Yeah, we'll start with Djokovic's semi.
Yes.
Very, very impressive against Federer. 1-3-1, but was two sets to love up inside 54 minutes, which would have been beyond his wildest dreams at the start of it. Because for all that he has proven himself to be better than Federer in recent years, Federer still has the capability to cause anyone problems on the day, and Djokovic just swatted him away, didn't he, in those first two sets?
He did. I think Federer got his tactics wrong, in all honesty, because when he was under the tutelage of Stefan Edberg, the overriding theme was the aggressiveness of Roger Federer, coming to the net more, serving and volleying, chipping and charging. But with Ivan Ljubicic, I don't think he did that successfully in the first two sets. I don't think he attempted to do it enough in the first two sets. And he allowed Djokovic to dictate the play from the back of the court. And if these points are going long in a match between Novak Djokovic and Roger Federer, Djokovic is always going to outlast Federer from the back of the court. So I think Federer slightly got his tactics slightly wrong in that matchup, in the first two sets in particular. Did change it, and that's how he won the third set. Played some incredible tennis in that third set, Federer. Even at his age now, still managing to compete over three sets with Djokovic. But over five sets, it was always going to be difficult, even though he'd won that fourth set, to completely turn that match, and Djokovic got it done in four in the end, and deserved to win in four sets as well. Very impressive performance from Djokovic. I think he's playing tremendously well at the moment, and those first two sets against Federer were incredible. To win two sets in under an hour against Roger Federer is just sensational.
Very different story for Andy Murray, who was, what should we say, laboured in beating Milos Raonic. I mean,
yeah,
Raonic is a player that I do like. I don't think he has it in him yet to win at the highest level. And the question is, will he ever? Because he's not as young as he once was. He's been established now for quite a while. And this seemed like a huge opportunity. He played really well in the opening set. Got the early break. Managed to just shut Murray out, really. There weren't a whole lot of opportunities for Andy Murray. But you just got the sense that the longer the game went on, the better Murray would get. And we saw that in the final set where Murray was a comprehensive winner in the end. But the opportunity was there for Raonic. Should he have taken it? And he didn't.
Probably. Yeah, he should probably have won that match, in all honesty, because Murray's form was a little bit below what he expects, definitely. As for the age element and will Raonic ever get there, we've got to remember he's only 25 years old. And he did burst onto the scene, and everyone thought this guy is a definite future slam winner, and it's not quite materialised. Reached that semi-final in Wimbledon in 2014, quarter-final of the Australian Open last year, semi-final this year. There's been a little bit of progression though this season. I think in the winter break he has worked on his movement, which was a lot better this fortnight, and that win against Roger Federer in Brisbane in the lead up to this event, I think that could possibly act as a catalyst for the rest of the season for Raonic, and it could be a watershed moment for him. If he ends up winning a slam either this year or the next year, I think he might pinpoint that win against Federer in Brisbane as a turning moment in his career, because to come back from the winter break and perform like that, it is creditable. I think Murray wore him down in the end. Fitness became an issue. Raonic isn't as fit as Andy Murray. This match went five sets. Recording this on Friday, went five sets today, and Murray just ground him down in the end. But Raonic will definitely feel it's a missed opportunity because Murray played below par.
I'm just going to go back to the Raonic is 25, there's still a chance for him discussion.
Yep.
Djokovic is 28.
Yes.
There's not much scope there. And bear in mind, they've played each other five times, Djokovic and Raonic. Raonic has only ever won one set off Novak Djokovic.
Yeah.
There really doesn't look to be an opportunity for him unless Novak slips up, is injured.
I suppose he might have to wait until Novak Djokovic is 31, 32, and he's coming to maybe you're talking 3 or 4 years' time when he's coming to the end of his tether.
The Federer years.
And you've got to remember that the way Novak Djokovic plays isn't really comparable to the way that Roger Federer plays.
Is true.
His longevity, he might not be able to go the distance like Federer has.
He's so intense,
and the points are so long, whereas Federer has always played with that graceful quality where he's seemingly not exerting the sort of energy that Novak Djokovic is. So there's a question as to how long Djokovic will remain at the top of the game. I think it will be for a good 2-3 years yet. But that might, when Djokovic does finally start to wilt, that might be the moment when Raonic seizes his opportunity, because there aren't that many young players, right? There aren't many 21, 22 year olds coming through the ranks. There aren't any I can think of right now that can challenge.
Kyrgios.
Yeah, possibly Kyrgios.
Yeah.
That can challenge, but he's temperamental and that can challenge Djokovic. Djokovic at the moment is really in a league of his own, in all honesty. People talk about it being the big three, the big four. It's the big one, really, and Djokovic is light years ahead of the rest at the moment in the way he's playing.
Okay, we'll get to the men's final shortly. We're just going to have a little discussion about the women's semis.
Yes,
Serena got the better of Agnieszka Radwanska. Again, just far too good. 6-love, 6-4. Won the first set in just 22 minutes, and has been in typical Serena form, is yet to drop a set, has played Sharapova and Radwanska, arguably the hardest test that she was going to get.
Yeah.
What's going to stop her? It seems like a bit of a null and void point, really.
It seems impossible, doesn't it, to stop her? And you think we're talking about Roger Federer in the twilight of his career. Serena Williams is 34 years old now, and she's insistent that she's playing better tennis this year, start of 2016, than she was in the whole of 2015. And when you think she came within a whisker of completing the Grand Slam last year, losing out to Roberta Vinci, inexplicably, really, in that US Open semi-final where she took the first set 6-2, and she would have traded a ridiculously short price, and then lost the next two sets 6-4, 6-4 to go out of that US Open. She's been incredible in the last 2 years. She's won 26 of 27 slam matches in 2015. She's looking for another win at the Australian Open. And this is, even though you think it's coming to an end, she's won four of the last five slams. I find it inconceivable to envisage a scenario where Angelique Kerber can beat Serena Williams the way she's played this fortnight. And you said she's been imperious, and she has. There's usually a hump match for Serena Williams, a match where she starts slowly, maybe loses an opening set before coming on strongly. That's not happened this fortnight. From the moment she stepped on to court, the intensity has been incredible, and to blow away and blitz Agnieszka Radwanska the way she did in that semi-final, winning 6-love, 6-4, was incredible. And I say that because Radwanska is the type of player that can trouble Serena Williams, a player that can vary spin and pace, and that's where Serena Williams occasionally struggles, and that happened against Roberta Vinci, a player with a little bit of trickery in the book, like Agnieszka Radwanska. But this looks an ideal matchup against Angelique Kerber.
Serena, you said, has just been so dominant from the start. I remember going back to the French Open, the first three or four games that she had at the French Open, she'd lose the first set.
Yeah.
And you could almost back the opponent to win the first set at a good price. Or maybe just wait and back Serena after a set because she's at a more appealing price. But as you said, this time she has been pretty formidable. As for Angelique Kerber, she's only dropped one set so far. That was against Misaki Doi in the first round. Since then, she's been very impressive. But the only player that she's beaten that you maybe wouldn't have expected to beat was Victoria Azarenka. In the quarters, she did that 6-3, 7-5. That was an upset.
That was a big upset.
It was, but that is all that she's done. And I don't want to, you know, knock that. But she beat Johanna Konta in the semis, and Konta was just delighted to get that far, wasn't she?
I think so, because for Johanna Konta, it was all a learning experience, really. She'd never been through past qualifying here at the Australian Open. And she had limited experience against players in the top 10. Angelique Kerber now ranked 6th in the world. It was, of course, Konta's first semi-final in a Grand Slam. I think a lot of people would have expected Angelique Kerber at this stage of her career to have at least reached one Slam final by now. But this is her first. It's going to be her first on Saturday morning UK time. And I expect there's a possibility she will be overawed by the situation.
Okay.
I think that could be a factor in this final. And the setup against Serena, it looks so strong for Serena Williams, because Angelique Kerber is not going to play with variety. She's going to just try and hit the ball as hard as she can from the back of the court. And Serena loves using her opponent's pace to dominate points. They've met 6 times on tour before, and Serena Williams leads the head-to-head series 5-1. She's won the last 4 convincingly as well, and Serena's not been beaten in a Slam final since back in 2011, so 5 years ago. Since then, she's won 7 Grand Slams. So once she gets into the second week of a Slam, we've seen this throughout her career, she gets stronger as the week progresses, and she just doesn't really lose Grand Slam, or hasn't recently in her career. She's lost 4 in total in her lifetime career Grand Slams, and she's won 20 of them. So I find if you're looking for a case for Kerber, you're going to have to look harder than me, because I can't see a way Kerber can win this match.
Okay, it's 1-6 Serena, 9-2 for Kerber. But if you look on the William Hill website, there are plenty more, slightly more enticing bets that you can have. So if you fancy Serena to win in straights, it's 4-9. It's not a knock your socks off price, but as we've said, if a 4-9 lands, it's better than nothing.
I think if you're looking for a double in the women's side to go with maybe a bet in the men's final, I think 4-9 is reasonable.
Yeah.
I think it's a very fair price. We have got the game handicap betting. Serena Williams -5.5 at 4-5. I can see that landing. I think she will win 6-2, 6-3, something like that in terms of the set scoreline. Do you give Kerber any opportunity here, Alex?
No. I just think there are some players on the women's tour that can cause Serena problems, Radvanska being one of them, and she got demolished. Kerber just is not good enough for me to trouble Serena.
Yeah, I agree.
She is a perfectly good player in her own right, but Serena is on a whole other level. And I mean, you're looking at, we've got an enhanced price. Well, we've got plenty of January enhanced odds on the William Hill website. Get on there, because January's nearly finished. Williams to win 2-1 from 100-30 out to 9-2. Massive push.
Yeah.
Normally, a price push like that, even as a value play, I'd be like, okay. But with that, I'm just like, well, I'd be backing it for the price.
Yeah, I think that's it. I think if you're looking for a bet where you think Kerber's, if you think Kerber's got any opportunity, that's the one, really. 9-2 for Serena Williams to win 2-1. I much prefer that 9-2 to Angelique Kerber to win the match, which is also the same price.
Yeah.
I think that's a much better bet, because I can see maybe Serena Williams losing a little bit of focus for a set. We've seen it happen in Grand Slams before on numerous occasions, but rarely in a final.
Lose the first set, win the match. Serena 5-1. I think if she's going to drop a set, it will be the first.
Yes.
But again, that's
But then you'd rather take half a point shorter for maybe Kerber to level it up one apiece. So I don't mind the 9-2, but if we're talking straight bets and we take the odds out of it for a second, I think Serena Williams does win this in straight sets.
Okay. Just one more price I'm going to throw at you here.
Yes.
Score cast first set, 6-love Serena, 12-1.
Could be. Happened in the semi, didn't it?
Big price.
Yeah, big
as
price.
As is a 9-1 on the second set.
Yeah, if Kerber drops serve early on in that match, first Grand Slam final, the butterflies will be floating around inside her stomach, no doubt, metaphorically speaking, of course. it could be an uphill struggle for Kerber in that first set.
Okay, we'll move on to the men's final then on Sunday morning. Djokovic 1-5, Murray 4-1. I think Andy Murray is a very big price here.
Do you really?
And this is more than just a value play. If you said to me, who's going to win this? I'd say Djokovic. But Murray has a chance. I think he wins a set at least. And for that reason, the 4-1 could just be a bit big. If he wins the first set, who knows?
There are a few concerns with Andy Murray, in my mind anyway. One is the extra rest that Novak Djokovic has had. Murray had to play Rajanic on Friday morning, whereas Djokovic came through relatively comfortably against Roger Federer on Thursday morning. So an extra 24 hours and some rest compared to Andy Murray. Murray went 5 against Milos Rajanic, didn't show his best form. And the head-to-heads are stacking up against Andy Murray now. I know he has beaten Novak Djokovic 9 times in their career series out of 30, but he's lost 11 of the last 12 now. And that, in my opinion, is disconcerting. They've played each other 4 times at the Australian Open. Andy Murray's lost on all 4 occasions, 3 times in finals as well. And Djokovic absolutely loves it here. This is something that he's been saying in his interviews throughout the course of the fortnight with Jim Courier on the court. He won his first Grand Slam here when beating Joe Wilfried Tsonga back in 2008. And subsequently, in the last 5 years, he's been absolutely incredible on this court. I just think that the conditions suit him perfectly. And I find it difficult to envisage Andy Murray being strong enough from the baseline to beat Novak Djokovic in the form he's in. We mentioned at the start of the podcast Djokovic's performance against Roger Federer in the semi-final. It was brilliant. It really was. Can Murray compete with Djokovic over 5 sets when Djokovic has won 4 of the last 5 years here on the Rod Laver Arena, having gone 5 sets with Milos Rajanic on Friday morning? I don't know if he can.
Okay. I take your point on board.
Yeah.
I just think as 1-5 shots go, I think he's pretty skinny.
Oh, and there's no doubt in that. That is, if you're talking from a price perspective here, 1-5 is skinny, because you usually see these matchups, and in recent times, Djokovic will have been a 1-2, maybe a 1-4 shot, a 1-3 shot. You look at their previous meetings in the Australian Open. Let's take 2015 and 2013 as separate entities here. In 2015, Murray was a 9-4 shot, around about 9-4 to win this, so that puts Djokovic at 1-3. In 2013, they were much closer together. Murray was around about a 6-4 shot to win on that occasion, with Djokovic priced at 4-7 and 1-2. So 1-5 is short, undoubtedly. Given their previous meetings in finals, the prices have been much closer together.
But I suppose the key is, of the games that you just mentioned, Djokovic won them both.
He did, and he won them both quite convincingly in 4 sets, both those meetings in 4 sets. The closest that Andy Murray's come to beating Novak Djokovic in this event at the Australian Open, remember, this will be the 5th time they've met, was back in 2012, when Djokovic won 3-2 and came from 2 sets to 1 down to win that in the semi-final and beat him 7-5 in the 5th there. But Djokovic is getting better, in my opinion, and I don't think Murray is at the moment. Murray wants to win this event more than any other slam. He's mentioned that in his press conferences, because he's come so close to winning here in Australia in the past. But I just think Djokovic, whereas you said earlier, Serena Williams is just a better player than Angelique Kerber. Djokovic is just better than Murray. And sometimes it is that simple. And we've analysed this matchup many times before and looked at the different wrinkles and thought, maybe Murray could expose a Djokovic weakness here. Mm. Maybe he could expose a Djokovic weakness there. But Djokovic doesn't have any weaknesses on this surface. The only way Murray can win is by playing like Gilles Simon did and mixing it up entirely and trying to change the pace of the match so Djokovic has nothing to work with. That's why he performed so badly against Gilles Simon earlier in the tournament. And he's got to hope and pray Djokovic's level dips to such an extent, as it did against Simon, and he made over 100 unforced errors in that match. It just won't happen in a final.
Okay. And Murray needs to make sure that he's mentally ready to take advantage of any slip that Djokovic has.
He's got to step up on what he showed in that semi-final. If he plays like he did in the semi-final, Djokovic will annihilate him.
Okay.
I'll be interested to see how Murray plays in this match, because he's tried to be aggressive in the past against Novak Djokovic, really tried hard to be aggressive, and it's not worked out. I don't want to see him going into a shell, but I'd like to see him play a lot of slice on the backhand side, put a lot of short balls in play, not give Djokovic any pace to work with in this match, and hope that Djokovic makes an abundance of unforced errors.
Murray is capable of doing the things that you've just said, though.
He is capable, but definitely.
Djokovic in straights, 11-10. Murray to win a set, 4-6. Which of those do you prefer?
Definitely Djokovic to win in straight sets. I'm fully expecting Djokovic to start quickly here and win 3-0, actually. I know you quite like Murray to nick at least one, don't you?
Murray to win a set, 4-6, or if you want to boost it, both players to win a set, 4-5. We're assuming Djokovic wins a set and Murray doesn't win in straights here. That would be a bit of a turn up. But the 4-6 on that,
yep,
makes me think that's safe, in my opinion. That's a solid bet. But I think, well, hang on, if he's going to win one set,
could get a couple.
I like the 4-1 on Murray. I really do.
Really?
But that's just me.
We'll see on Sunday morning. I hope you're right, obviously, because I'm a huge Murray fan. I just think there's only one man in the men's game that can compete with Djokovic from the back of the court and can out-hit Djokovic, and that's Stan Wawrinka.
Mm.
We've seen him do it in slams in the past. At the French Open, in the French Open final, obviously on a different surface last year, but he can take the racket out of Djokovic's hands, so to speak, whereas Murray can't. He's not got the firepower to beat Djokovic consistently from the back of the court over 5 sets.
Okay, so 2 straight sets victories then, Serena and Novak, just over 2-1.
Yeah, that's what I'll be playing in these two matches.
Okay. Fair enough. Well, best of luck with those picks, Dave. Enjoy all of the action on Saturday and on Sunday morning. 2 absolute humdingers to look forward to. And we'll catch up with you when? French Open?
Yeah, hopefully.
Looks like it.
If I'm still in a job by then.
William Hill is committed to responsible gambling. Visit gambleaware.co.uk for more information.